the Mills Fleet Farm Studios. WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie. A Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Seabrook able to step ahead with it now. And Shumway scores! Taves trying to play it in front. Battle for it by Shaw. He scores! Taves drop it. Pickle nudged it across the cane. He scores! Cut off and sent down the ice by Hulsa. And in! Then back on to Spurgeon again. Walking it on, got it to Parise. Fans want to see somebody shoot. Spurgeon does. Can they score? A power play goal. Then back to Suter again from Zucker. Across for a shot. Oh, that went wide. He scores! Suter across. Drive. Getting a piece of it. Crawford. Fired back around. Boywood took that shot. He's got it again. 3-0. Back to Suter. Shot. Right wide. The horn. And the series is over.
Yes, it is. The sweep. You know, we're going to have Tom Reed on with us in a bit, and I'm going to tell Tom what he should do is tomorrow night, when there would have been a Game 5 had they actually won a game, put on one of the two wins against Chicago last year for people, just so they can see what it's like for the Wild to beat the Chicago Blackhawks, because it sure didn't happen this year.
I might attend that.
Did you? just to see what it feels like and be reminded. Did you at any point think that they were going to win? Even with that flurry at the end there with a couple of goals, I just didn't see it happening.
With that flurry at the end, it really got your hopes up. Maybe they can at least send this to overtime, but I just had a feeling that even if we get into overtime,
they'd lose.
You're going to get a bad bounce. It's going to be some stupid goal that ends up getting a sweat.
They had, with 14 seconds left, Chicago had about too many men on the ice. They had an opportunity again, but they obviously were always playing from behind.
It was weird that it was the last 2 to 3 minutes of that game.
But they got something going.
The Wild played their best 3 minutes of hockey in their final demise.
And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because where is that frenzied or that basically that attitude of this team? Like, we really need a goal now. It should have been with them since game one.
Yeah,
they really need a goal right now.
You would think that would have popped up for the Wild in game three, the one-to-nothing loss. You would expect that kind of frenetic, that frantic finish.
But we didn't see it, and we didn't see it at all. And, you know, and it did look like, I mean, Dubnyk was not the goaltender he was in earlier series, but a lot of these guys weren't the players they were. They did, well, Chicago is so damn good. But they looked like maybe they did get worn down after that. You know, maybe their Stanley Cup playoff was getting into the postseason and then getting past the first opponent. The problem is, every year they're going to have to get through Chicago or at some point face them. It's most likely. You know, they happen to be in the same conference. They're never going to play them for the Stanley Cup Finals. So the road's going to in some way go through Chicago. Or there's going to be another good team, like Anaheim, say.
You pretty much have to hope Chicago loses in the first round.
And the likelihood of that would be?
Not likely.
With this team, I think five. Haven't they? They've won two Stanley Cups. And haven't they played in five of the last seven Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, as of last night.
Yeah. And it's, well, yeah. After watching them, they're probably going to go on. And I don't know who can beat them for the Stanley Cup if they play like they did against the Wild. And it still doesn't look like they've got, you know, goaltending issues, yes, against Nashville. There's no goaltending issues on this team now.
No.
No, unlike, and I will say this, and one of the announcers for NBC made the point, if you're watching from the upper deck last night, that first goal, you're thinking, what was Dubnyk doing? But it went off of Scandella's leg, and he had no shot on that one, because the way it ricocheted.
And then the second one, he just seemed, he was down, he had the stick down, he didn't think anything was going to jump over his stick and go right through the five hole, but guess what happened?
I will say this. That. Now, as somewhere, I mean, you've played some hockey, right?
A little bit.
It was not at all a lot, but I mean, I was horrible on skates. I would never be a hockey player, but I mean, I played, and everybody wants to go in goal to see what it's like. Honestly, I don't know how these guys don't have more goals against them when you have all the bodies screening, and that, I mean, that puck's not exactly big. So I give all these goaltenders at every level credit for doing what they do.
Yeah, they do a great job. You have to have great reflexes. And just vision. You have to be able to know where the puck is at all times. And it does happen where you can chalk it up to that was just a perfect screen. That happened to Dubnyk a couple times against St. Louis where he just didn't have any idea. He just saw a stick up in the air and went to his left and it popped
all
right
of a sudden,
over him.
Yeah.
He didn't even know it was there. He was just guessing.
So it's anyway, it was congratulations to the Blackhawks. I know Wild fans don't like that. And the question is, and we'll ask this throughout the day, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105, if you'd like to weigh in, what do you do if you're the Wild? Do you make tweaks? Do you try to get a major, another big-time scorer in here? I mean, what is your next move? Do you try to dump some of the guys you have, the veterans? Because the Chicago teams, I mean, you're not looking at guys that are old veterans. They're going to be around a while. I mean, you're looking at a team that could be concurrent with the Wild and everybody else in the Western Conference.
There are certain players on this team that you just can't get rid of. Like the young guys, the Eric Hollas, Charlie Coyle,
well,
Jason
I'm not saying
Zucker,
that,
Mikhail
but
Granlund.
Do you get rid of a Mikko Koivu?
That's debatable.
And Vanek. I mean, if you could. I don't know that you can.
If you could, you might want to consider that.
But who wants somebody to go on their fourth line? Which after
that's
what
pretty expensive for a fourth line.
Well, I mean, okay, even third. But after what happened last year, why is he on the fourth line? Look at what they're doing to this port. Well, maybe it was deserved when he was in Montreal in the postseason. There is talent on this team, but it certainly there's a difference between it. And even though you could say, well, the games were close, they really weren't. When you look at just how good that Chicago team is,
yeah, the way they were able to score when they
needed to,
either way you want to say it, it just made us look pathetic.
Well, and Patrick Kane, I guess I'll go get another goal. That's what it almost seems like.
I'm starting to hate that guy quite a bit.
Oh, I bet you are. He is. He's pretty damn good, though.
I've always thought he was one of the best players in the league, or not always, but the last few years, it's tough to find somebody that makes his whole line better than Patrick Kane does.
Well, and what is he? And I'm surprised that he's not first, but I think he's second in the Stanley Cup playoffs in goals, right? This year, the only guy I think that has more is Tyler Johnson,
and he scored a ton.
He's got one more, I think. Was had one more, but and the guy had 72 points during the regular season, but it's over for your Wild, and now we'll start turning attention to your Minnesota. They're in we're Cleveland tonight. Just start their slide now. Now that everybody's attention is on them. They won last night.
Cleveland's terrible.
Okay, well, the Twins have been. I'm not sold on them yet either. We are going to. By the way, we're not going to we're not going to go away and disown the poor Wild today, because we are going to talk to Tom Reed in a few minutes about the Wild and get his thoughts on what they need to do in the offseason. We'll also talk to Pete Wagner, does a show on Saturdays here on the ice, also has a show tomorrow, both on hockey and baseball. So we'll touch both Twins and Wild with him. But, a lot, and let me mention this, some news I want to give out, but then I want to talk about Tom Brady. Mike Zimmer said Eric Kendricks, their second-round pick, will start out at middle linebacker and could be moved to the weak side. So that's something that, it answers that question. A lot of people were wondering, where will he start him? Well, he is going to put him in the middle, which puts him next to his old college roommate, Anthony Barr. So that'll be interesting. And the thing about... Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is before we are going to get to Brady, is what happened. Third overall pick, Dante Fowler, left the Jaguars practice on a cart after an apparent knee injury. His first hour or so on the field, that's a tough one, because he was supposed to be he was one of these hybrid guys who could be a great pass rusher and linebacker. And we don't know the extent of it yet, but never a good sign when they throw you up on the cart for a knee injury.
Yeah, Jacksonville hasn't been good for quite some time, so that's really got a sting.
I would say that that's a good way to look at it. Now, the Tom Brady thing. There is some. He talked last night. He actually was at a college where he lobbed a few questions, and he said he hadn't. We talked about it a little yesterday. I think he hadn't digested it yet.
Mm-hmm.
He had 30 hours to digest it. You're basically been called a cheat and a liar, and you're not going to respond to it. The problem he has, and his agent is just blabbing away as this Don Yee trying to, make excuses for him. He refused to turn over his phone, which to see what the text messages were. Because remember, we heard the text messages yesterday, and they were pretty damning from the two equipment guys, damning of Tom Brady. Brady refused, and his agent used the excuse, well, Tom's got a lot of text messages that, could have been talking about the union, things he doesn't want the league to see.
Maybe some Brett Favre-style picks sent to somebody?
We never know. Maybe he was sending pics of the wife around. You never know. She may have been sending to him. We never know. However, what we do know is he didn't turn them over, so he wasn't cooperative with the league, which could really count against him. And there are people who believe it could be, well, Chris Sims used to play for the in the NFL, and he was an assistant with the Patriots, thinks it could be or should be six games, you know, which is, I think it could be between four and six and a fine.
I don't trust Chris Sims because he also said heading into the offseason that defensive line was the Vikings' top priority or one of their top three priorities.
Well, he might have gotten something right here.
Maybe.
He might have gotten something here. You just can't go after him.
Lost some credibility in my mind.
All right. He lost credibility. I can understand that. There's a few things here, though, that are interesting. Mike Pettine, you know, the coach over in Cleveland, where he's had his GM got in trouble for the texting during games, right? Well, he was asked about the Brady situation, and here, this is a really interesting quote. "I've always had a lot of respect for him." This is Pettine again. "But I lose a lot of respect for guys who cheat." And then comes the question, though, well, wait a minute. You work for a GM who was suspended. He cheated.
Hey, Pot, is this Kettle?
Yeah. That question, though, they didn't follow up with that one. But, I mean, when you start having...
Because you haven't been taught how to cheat properly.
It's very true. But when you start having coaches from other teams saying they lose respect for you as a player, that gets to be a little harsh. And then you know, people coming out and saying that it does tarnish him and his reputation. It doesn't. You know, here's the way, because a lot of people, we had the guy, the caller, and if you're listening, call in again, the Patriots fan. I understand it when he says it's not a big deal, except it is a rule that was intentionally broken.
A stupid rule in my mind.
Yes, but it's still a rule that should be followed. And however you look at it, wow, it's just, look what he did when the ball had the right. Well, why didn't he just play with it with the right amount of air pressure in it? Why was he screwing around with it? Just let it go. It's another control thing. He's like his coach. They, you know, there's an attitude among a lot of athletes and coaches. They could do whatever they want and get away with it. And the league, and I threw this out on Twitter, if you want to weigh in on it, some people have, is what would happen? Well, I mean, I'll read the question to you. If Goodell doesn't come down hard on Brady, does he risk being accused of racism for harsh punishment of African-American players? And one guy responded that, did he do the exact same thing as the other players? Well, he cheated. The other players that we talked about last year, it involved domestic violence, which is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But this is cheating. And most leagues don't take cheating lightly.
No.
And you shouldn't.
Look at the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Cheaters!
How many of those guys are getting in right now?
Of the guys who cheat on the steroids?
Palmeiro, McGuire, those...
None of them!
Yeah.
And you
cheating's
know,
not taken
but see,
lightly.
And here's the problem that people have. Some people are looking at it different degrees of cheating. Well, you could say, yeah, there's different degrees of stealing. If you steal a single candy bar from a store, or if you take out, you know, the giant pot roast between your legs, you're still stealing. It doesn't matter what it is. You still can face the same fine.
Either way, you get your hand chopped off, right?
In some countries, you would. The old Hammurabi thing. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But deflated ball for deflated ball. I don't know. Maybe that's what they'll do. Deflate one anyway. We'll, there's our guy. Tom, when is he calling in? I'm putting it out again. Schreier, call in. Tom Schreier does a hell of a job. Hell of a cackler, too. Take a quick break. Be right back. We will discuss hockey. We will discuss the Wild and what might and or will happen with them in the offseason with Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey Pub. That's coming right up.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities, On the Ice, hosted by Pete Wagner of MinnesotaHockeyMag.com and Chad Graff of the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
How hard is it to be one of those fringe guys and know, Chad, that this is an all-in situation with this group?
Absolutely. I mean, guys like Matt Cook know that after he's been out for a while, knows that if his game slips a little bit come playoff time, there are lots of guys that can replace him.
On the Ice, hockey talk every Saturday morning at 9, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to listen.
that time. Figure we let Tom enjoy some of the music before we talk about the Wild. Well, he's enjoyed enough of it, I guess. It's inevitable. Tom, how are you?
Well, disappointed, as you can imagine, but just doing fine.
No, it was a rough one. Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. And, Tom, even at the end when they had that flurry, they got the two goals, they always just were playing from behind against this Chicago team. And they couldn't.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, they couldn't overcome it. And even though the scores were, we're talking overall, they were close. You just never got a feel that they were better or they can really get something big going. Chicago's just so dang good.
Well, they are. The Chicago's a better team. And you look at the talent they have, and they're young talent also. So they've got a number of good years that they're going to have with these youngsters. And I'm talking about Kane and Taves and Saad and Seabrook and Duncan Keith and so on. But Minnesota never led in this series, not one time, right from the beginning. And not that they got blown out of the water by any such imagination. And Minnesota, I mean, they worked hard. They worked hard, but there's no reward with it. And so it's disappointing to them because, you work so hard to get a shot or get a goal, and then they hit hot goaltending also. Although I don't really think that they really got enough shots going to Crawford at all. I mean, he made the saves he had to make, but a lot of those saves were very difficult saves for the most part.
You know, Tom, at the end, they were playing at a frenetic pace, and it looked like they just turned things up. Why wasn't that there more, that sense of urgency, over the last couple of games?
I think there was urgency in their part. They thought they could do it, but you know what? Unfortunately, they played against a team that was just better than they were in that series. And you have to give them a lot of credit. I mean, they did exactly what they had to do to win the contest, and four straight against Minnesota. I didn't expect that. I thought they would go. I was hoping Minnesota in six. That's going from my heart more so than my head, I think. But you're hoping that Minnesota, the goal at the beginning of the year was to get into the playoffs. And if you would have looked at this team in mid-January, you would have thought, there's no way. They got in the playoffs. Once you get in the playoffs, then the goal is to get to the second round. They did that. Then, unfortunately, they were not able to get to that third round. And even that first goal last night, it was just Chicago makes their breaks. That first goal last night where Seabrook came down the side, took an ordinary wrist shot, but it hit the leg, the outside of the
Scandella,
leg of Scandella, and just popped up right over Dubnyk's shoulder. And, that's what you call puck luck. And Minnesota didn't have much in this series, but Chicago, on the other hand, that's a good skating club. They know what they have to do, and they can score some goals.
Now, Tom, you made the great point that the Chicago team, it's not like they're a bunch of old veterans who are going to retire. They're going to be around for years to come. How do the Wild battle that and overcome that in the years ahead?
Well, you've got to bring some talent that can match it, and that's going to be hard to do because Minnesota, I think they're going to draft somewhere around 20th this season. So Chuck Fletcher and the staff, they just have to hope that some of the young kids will really make the step up and be better next year. And I'm talking about the Coils and the Zuckers and the Fontaines and the Hollas. Those kids have to step up. I mean, do they have the talent that Chicago has? No, not right now. Can they be better? Yes, they can be. But you're going to depend on the young kids to come up and kind of fill the void where some of the older guys may move on the outside and go to perhaps another team and not be re-signed. So there's some really tough decisions that the management has to make regarding the squad for next year.
Now I'm taking a look, and are Kane and Taze, are they under contract only through this season?
No, they both signed.
They both resigned. Okay.
Contracts, yeah.
All right, because I found an old one.
And so is Keith. I think their contracts. I want to say they signed for something like $71 million or something. Each of them, they have the same contracts, and I don't have it in front of me, but I know they're there for a few more years. And you can bet that Stan Bowman, the GM, is not going to let these guys get away. Kane is unbelievable. They kept him in check last night for the most part. He gets one chance, and it's in the net. I mean, the guy's amazing. He knows exactly where it has to go. So give them credit. And I give Dale Talon a lot of credit. He's the guy that really brought those four guys, cornerstones of this hockey club together. And I'm talking about Kane and Taves and Seabrook and Duncan Keith. I mean, he's the guy who really signed them and got the rewards of watching them win the Stanley Cup in 2010, although he wasn't there at the time. He was with a different team with Florida. But I think that Dale Talon deserves a lot of credit for what they have right now.
I just found, I found the updated one. Taves and Kane are with them through 2023. making, they signed the $84 million deal, $10.5 million a year. Yeah. Duncan Keith also through 2023. Hossa through 2021, which I don't know that he'll see that, but he won't at 36. But Crawford, you know, Crawford's 2020. Sharp is 2017. Seabrook's 2016. Yeah, these guys aren't going anywhere.
Well, the thing is, they're just coming, and these are guys who just come into their prime. It's not that they're in their prime, they're just coming into it. And so when you have that youth, and you, normally these players are going to really have their best years probably between the ages of 26 to 30, 31 years of age. And so they've got some pretty good talent there for the next few years.
And Brandon Saad, he's up this year, but, I mean, he's going to get a big deal. He's making only $795,000. That's going to change in a hurry.
I know. He's one of my favorite players. I really enjoyed watching him. He's a big body. He plays tough. He's a grinder, but he can also be a good offensive threat when it has to be. I'm sure they're going to be able to find out, you know, loosen up the purse strings to grab onto them. The thing is, you want to have a good nucleus of players, and then you build around that with lesser players who are your grinders that won't make as much money, and that allows you to pay the you know, the star players the salaries they get.
Here's the Taze, 27, Kane, 26, Saad is what, is he 23, 22, oh my God.
22, yeah.
Boy, I mean, how do you, again, if you're the Wild, you made the moves, the big money moves with Suter and Parise a few years ago, and they were great moves, there's no question about them, but how do you combat this? You almost have to hope for guys to get hurt, because they're not, their talent is not going to get worse, they're going to get better.
Well, you don't want them getting
hurt. No, I know that, but I mean, how do you overcome this?
Well, you have to do it with the talent you have, and you know, you try to play maybe a much more sound defensive game. You try and match them up on their line changes and so on. Who's going to go against who? It's just a nightmare for a lot of these coaches trying to corral them because they're not even on the same line a lot of times. So you've got to really delegate your good checkers on different lines, and that takes away from some of the scoring points you may have on your lines. But you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I was talking to Scotty Bowman a couple of games ago. He's in the building. Of course, he's the legendary coach, which got 1,244 career wins, which is number one in the history of the NHL. And no one's ever going to get that one. No one will ever get to that point. But his son, Stan, is a GM of Chicago. And I was talking to Scotty, and he was saying that you really have to move about 20% of your lineup every year, regardless if you win the cup or not, because you've got to get rid of some of the older players and bring in some of the new fresh blood so they can develop into those players that they will be down the road.
And he's won a Stanley Cup playoff or two. What's he got, 13?
As a Bowman?
Scotty Bowman? I think he's been, as a coach and executive, 13.
Yeah. I think he's got 13 altogether as a coach and also management.
Nine
the only
is
one
a coach.
Who has more than him. The only one who has more than him is Jean Béliveau. I think Mr. Béliveau had 17 Stanley Cup.
Yep, he did 17.
As a player.
Yep.
Yeah, as a player and as a management side.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, what do you, Tom? Are there any names that you think that would surprise you if they were here now, or is it too early for you to start looking at that?
Well, it's still a little bit too early to start looking at that right now. Yeah, you know, you have to see, you know, what's available out there. What can you get? What can you afford? Because I don't even know where the cap is going to be as of yet.
Yeah.
I don't think they know quite sure where it's going to be. There's still some speculation it's going to be, you know, close to 70 million. We'll have to just wait and see exactly where it's going to be. But it will certainly have an impact on some of these teams and who can they sign. Chicago's going to be one of the teams that's going to be struggling to keep all these players because I think they're pretty close to the cap right now. In fact, they were over just before training camp started, and they had to get down by the time the season started. So it'll be interesting to see who's available and who and where they want to go. A lot of players don't mind coming here now because of the direction of this hockey club and the way it's going.
That's absolutely a plus for him. Now, Tom, I said it earlier, and I want to share my great idea for Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tomorrow night, you advertise you are going to have that Stanley Cup playoff game showing the Minnesota Wild beating the Chicago Blackhawks. Grab one of the games from last year. This way, people feel good about it. You can start bringing them back and start easing the pain.
Yeah. I might even get the AWA wrestling in here and watch some of that. That'll go along with it.
Well, a lot of people love that, too.
Oh, I know it. I do.
Yeah, and you still, and that's the other thing. I mean, obviously, the Stanley Cup playoffs are still on. You'll still have the games right on through the end. So you're Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. It'll be hopping and a place to be for the next couple of months. So, well, beyond that, but I mean, for hockey, you can still, it's still a place to go for hockey and great food.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here right now. And I'm watching some baseball, some softball, college softball. I'm watching some of the NHL Network replay of some of the games, and also golf. So there's a little bit of everything on the TVs down here.
Well, it's a great place. And, Tom, I want to thank you for joining us so many times during the season. It's always great talking to you. We'll certainly check in. But Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub, if you are in St. Paul, or I'd say within a 100-mile radius, drive over there because you won't regret it. Great memorabilia, great food, and Tom's there. He'll be there more without games to do.
Yes, I will be.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much.
All right.
Take it easy.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right. Great guy, Tom Reed, and it's an absolutely terrific the pub if you like good food, good memorabilia, and Tom, he works the crowd like nobody's business. We are going to take a quick break. Come right back. Little threesome. Three questions, three answers. We're going to give them to you.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Well, that sucked. This afternoon, we talk about what the Wild should do, what went wrong, and we want to hear from you. Plus, we'll talk about the Red Hot Twins and have our legal eagle, Marsh Hallberg, in.
3-0, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number.
No way!
Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity.
Hey, let me ask you, I can keep playing it there, but a week after next, the Twins, they're at Pittsburgh for a couple of games. I don't really care for that interleague play. I really could care less. Just keep it all in the American League.
But it's mandatory now.
I know it is, but I don't like it. I just, you know, the whole thing, DH, no DH, depending on where you're playing. I don't care what the Pirates have.
Well, they just need to add two more teams.
Then do it.
One to each league.
To get it done.
And then I would still like interleague play, but just one series for each team. We would face the Brewers,
If you want to make it something like that, but who cares if they're playing the Pirates? I mean, it's just
a home-and-home series, and that's it. We don't need to face the Pirates.
No, okay, because they have some players who've been here. Big deal. You know, Liriano. Oh, wow.
Good to see Liriano.
Yeah, Liriano. That's what you're seeing. That's about it.
One of our best buddies.
I know. But I just don't... I'm not fond of the process. You know what they should do? Because they're talking about hockey in Vegas. Stick a major league team from all the major sports in Vegas. Give them one of each. There, you're taking care of that. And there's always room. There's always room in L.A. It's like there's always room for another cookie. There's always room for another team in L.A. And maybe one NFL team wouldn't be a bad idea. Although hockey, they've got two hockey teams out there, so maybe, you know, and a couple of baseball teams. Maybe not as much, but there's places they can put them. Anyway, what's the first question?
Hey, Bob, I have three questions for you. Number one, the Vikings were ranked as having the ninth best defense. Is this accurate?
I don't think so. We'll have to see what happens. What, preseason-wise, you're talking about? Is that what he's talking about?
It's just a vote on BleacherReport.com.
That means a lot of Viking fans are voting.
Well, I don't know if they voted. I think it was just a writer ranking them. But said the Vikings right now have the ninth best defense in the league.
Well, here's what they'd have to do. Trey Waynes would have to become a starter as good or better than Xavier Rhodes for that to happen. Anthony Barr would have to stay healthy and just he was very good last year when he was healthy, make a quantum leap. Robinson's going to have to start getting some sacks.
No more hurries.
Yeah, no more of the hurries. Get to the quarterback and knock the ball loose a few times. Eric Kendricks is going to have to become a starter for them. I mean, they got to get somebody. Maybe it's Anton Exum. Somebody has to be either a safety with Harrison Smith. They really didn't address safety, so they must think they have somebody there who can do it. And I think Exum could be the guy that, you know, they're thinking of. Or maybe the old man they brought in the offseason.
Terrence
Newman. I mean, that's what a lot of guys do when they get a little older at cornerback. They wind up moving the safety. So maybe he's a guy that can play safety for him.
If he can do it for a year.
36 to be a cornerback is, that's getting up there. There aren't many guys who've been able to pull that off and stay at cornerback. So maybe that's what the plan is. But I'd say that's a little high right now. At ninth, a lot of things have to happen.
Like, obviously, the Vikings don't have the best defensive line because there are a couple of really good ones out there. But what do you think, just the front seven as a whole, if Eric Kendricks does step in and become that starting middle linebacker? It's pretty formidable on paper. Another year under the belt for Sharif Floyd, Linval Joseph.
I don't think we ever saw what... I think he's better than what we saw, Linval Joseph. And Everson Griffin, I mean, I think he's going to be a very good... I think he showed certainly signs of being a really good pass rusher. But it's the other side, and I really like, as a guy like Brian Robinson, and you'll hear, well, his defenders, well, he had a lot of hurries. But again, hurries don't put the ball on the ground so you could recover it and have a turnover.
Yeah.
Get to him. How many of those hurries were completions? That's the question that needs to be answered. I don't have that answer. You know, it's the, okay, he hurried the ball, but how many of them did he complete, and how many of them were thrown into the dirt?
And Tom Johnson is good, is a good rotational defensive tackle, and then we have the Vikings have Danielle Hunter now.
Well, here's what...
Possibly spell Robinson a little bit.
Okay, here's what I would like to see from them. And I think this was the plan early, but then Griffin started playing well, and Barr, they liked what he did, and there was the injury to Greenway. Kendrick, okay, passing down. You move Robinson inside next to Floyd, right? And then you put Barr, let him rush from the left side of the defense and leave Kendrick and Greenway as your two linebackers in passing downs. Because Greenway, I think, is still doing. And if this Kendrick's what we've heard he can be, he can handle it. But get Barr coming off the edge and rushing. You get him and you get Everson Griffin going at the quarterback from either side, and you have to push up the middle from Robinson and Sharif Floyd. I think that could be their best defensive line if they're going, you know, in passing situations. And you don't have to do it every time. Just mix it up, though, and get that more in there, because that's what we thought was going to happen with Anthony Barr, that he would be rushing more, too. I think it started out that way in camp, but they didn't stick with that. It changed.
And how often do you actually see a team that runs a 4-3 use their outside linebackers frequently?
As
a blitzer. You see it a little bit, but...
You see it as a blitzer, but you don't see a lot of teams actually... That's what he is, though. He's supposed to be a hybrid. Get him up there and let him brid. That's part of the high.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not the way I said it does, but you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
I just think that gives them a better pass rush and gives them... puts more pressure on the quarterback. And then Robinson's not leaving. Robinson on moving over to tackle in passing situations gives you a much better pass rush up the middle than anybody else next to Floyd would give you.
I think what that mainly does is add another element to our defense that gives opposing offensive coordinators nightmares about how they're going to keep their quarterback safe.
Well, yeah, and here's
Aaron
the other
Rodgers.
Thing. Now, yes, okay, Rodgers, get him hurt. That's what you're looking for. But get him sacked. But the other thing is, if Kendricks is the player that many of us think he is, I mean, a lot of people thought he could be a first-round pick, that he could be a very good linebacker, middle linebacker, or if they move them outside, you're keeping him on the field and not taking him off the field. Because those three middle linebackers, a lot of people are down on Greenway. Greenway can still play. He was hurt a little bit last year, but don't take him off the field. Don't take Kendrick off, and don't take Barr off. Often your linebackers are your most athletic guys on the field, and that's why when Bill Parcells took over the Giants, he had more linebackers on his team than anyone else because they all became special teamers. And they were running a 3-4, so he needed linebackers, but he kept a lot of guys because those were his star special teamers because they had speed. They could do anything. You know, you can put them in any situation, and they would generally be successful. Anywho, what do you got? What else you got?
Number two, the Wild have now been eliminated by Chicago three straight years.
Oh, no.
What can they do to get over this hump?
Nothing. What can they do? We just went over with Tom Reed. This is a team. Their best players are in their mid-20s. The oldest one, I think, is Taze at 27 of their forwards. You know, Saad's 22. Kane is 26. You can't do anything.
I think the only thing they can do is try and stay relatively healthy for an entire season so they don't end up being a wild card and they possibly have home ice advantage when it comes time to facing Chicago.
They would have to have, yes, they'd have to have one health, but it doesn't matter if they're home, if it's home or away because of how Chicago is. They'd have to play a peerless game. Absolutely, you know, every game would have to be, among their best games of the season. It's different in the regular season. That Chicago team in the postseason just turns it up a notch. And they will always, I mean, even if they won the division and Chicago stumbled and was a wild card, they're still going to wind up, they'll face them somewhere in the Western Conference. So it's not just waiting.
Wouldn't it be easier to try and get a hold of the series if
you're
home? Games one and two are at your building.
Yeah, until you wind up losing one or both of them, and then suddenly it's negated. No, I understand in theory what you're saying, but this is a run. Chicago's going to have a heck of a run over these next few years. I mean, these guys are going to get better. They're not going to start having the downside of their careers for until they're well, you know, into their 30s and not even at 30. I mean, this is a you're looking at another 5 years of dominance by this Blackhawk team.
Wild are young, too.
Yes, they are, but they have the talent.
They do.
Okay, if you think so, you keep deluding yourself.
Their defense is pretty much set.
Yeah, and but see, the one thing, though, is Dubnyk, as great as he was and leading him into the postseason, he has to prove next year that it wasn't a fluke, that he just didn't get on this incredible ride and run. You got one more?
Yeah.
Throw it out. We'll get through it quick.
Okay, finally, is the Twins' bullpen being overworked?
Hey, they're winning. You never, as Devin Dubnyk will tell you, you never overworked until the postseason. No, I don't. They're fine. I'm not worried about that bullpen. You need them because some of these starters can't go. They'll make it work. They got enough guys in the bullpen to make it work. I hurried that because we need to take a quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Pete Wagner on the ice. He does a show on Saturday mornings with you. You produce for them. And On Deck Radio. You do that one too. My God, he's busy. We're going to talk to Pete when we get back about the Wild and about the Twins. We'll do that in a moment.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's blocking the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series heads to Kansas Speedway for the SpongeBob SquarePants 400. Live racing under the lights beginning Saturday at 5:30 p.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
See, he gets all the good music. You're always kissing up to Pete Wagner.
Do you like this song? I'll play it for you more.
Because he's your boss on Saturday mornings. We are joined by Pete Wagner. He hosts On the Ice on Saturday mornings and On Deck Radio with Gene Larkin and Al Newman. See, he gives you the music you like. He won't give any to me, Pete. He just doesn't love me the way he loves you.
Of course. You know, School of Rock is one of my favorite movies of all time. So.
Well, he's always giving you the love, and I get... I'm just a cast-off to him. Now, all right, so let me ask you this question. They will face over the next... It's going to be... I mean, it could be the next... you know, 5 years, even up to 10 years. Taze is 27. Kane is 26. Saad is 22. This team is not aging. You know, the first two lines are pretty young for Chicago. How do you overcome it if you're the Wild over in the years to come? What do you do to make it better?
You get really bad quick, and you get, like the Hawks were for a long time. You get top picks like they did. You hit the jackpot with those picks, such as Taves and Kane. And, you know, guys like Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa have just been phenomenal. Sharp came in from Philadelphia a while ago, and he is just a stabilizing goal-scoring force. And I think Marian Hossa is one of the best two-way players in the league, and I think we saw that on display. You know, the way I've said this, Bob, is Minnesota's a great team. They're just not elite yet. And I think it's just going to take time. And, you know, they're a top eight team, no question. But I think the Hawks really dispelled any giddiness we'd have in this market.
But, I mean, what do you do in the off season? I talked to Tom Reed, and he said that Scotty Bowman said every year, even if you win the Stanley Cup, you should turn over 20% of your roster. Well, what do you do with this team? Who do you turn over? Do you get rid of Koivu? Vanek really didn't do anything for you in the in this series. Who do you want to turn over of significant players?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're in a tough situation because, you know, you just can't move, a contract like a Thomas Vanek. And now with no goals in two playoff seasons back-to-back, one in Montreal, one here, you know, played very well during the Wild surge and was a nice part of that, but really disappeared. I mean, you didn't even know he was out there. A couple of moments you did, and, you know, he was very forthright in that, but, you know, you can't really just, you know, who would take on that contract? That would be the difficult part in the world of the salary cap. You know, from a Mikko Koivu perspective, you know, I mean, I don't see him as the big problem here. But you do have a couple of gaudy salaries in Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. You know, they're both young. I mean, they both can still play, but I'm not so sure on the Ryan Suter side of things. If he's going to continue to play, that's one of their contracts go through the year 2021 or something like that. I mean, that's a long, long ways out, but you're locked into those two guys for big money. Beyond that, you've got younger guys that are locked up in contracts too. So it's the in-between players, the guys like the Jeff Carter or the Ryan Carters that you see coming in and out of the lineup. I mean, and those are just sort of revolving changes along the way. So I don't know if you particularly blow up this roster. I think there's just a couple of things you can do, but you have to absolutely address. We have not had a goal scorer like Marian Gabbert. Granted, Zach Parise, he gets 30 and he gets them the hard way, which is great. But we don't have that Patrick Kane type sniper, even Patrick Sharp, Marian Hossa type sniper on this team. So, you know, that to me is you got to find some way somehow. And it's most likely not in the free agent market, but through some sort of a trade to get a goal scorer in here, a real goal scorer.
Now, are you convinced that Dubnyk will be fine next year, or that I think that he still needs to prove this. I'm not going to say fluke, but the run he had, can he duplicate that?
It's really funny, Bob. I was at the game last night, and I was thinking about as he skated off. First, is this the last time he ever wears a Minnesota Wild sweater? I mean, it's possible. What if a team comes with some major bankroll and says, you know what, get in here? Why would you say no to that? But on the same token, he obviously was comfortable and liked his surroundings, and this is the best success he's had in the league. He'll need to put together a year to show that this wasn't just an aberration.
See, and that's why I believe, Pete, that's why he's not leaving, because I think general managers will have the same apprehension that we're discussing, that, wait a minute, how do you base on, if he was 22, it'd be different and he did this.
I agree. And he was the number one pick for a reason. He was a very good goaltender in junior all the way up. He had some great moments in Edmonton, and we were talking to one of the writers from the Edmonton Sun on our show last week, and I asked him about that, and he said, you know, he had some really, really great spurts and periods in front of just a really bad hockey team. So it's very difficult to say that. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting that what we saw these past few months is probably a little closer to what one can expect. With a team that plays so structurally sound in front of him like the Wild do. So I do think he's the guy you sign, and you completely address a major need on this team, and then you can go get what I think is a needed goal scorer.
Yeah, there's no disagreeing with that. We're talking to Pete Wagner tomorrow on the ice. I'm sure you're going to be certainly dissecting and discussing the Wild, and also you have On Deck Radio with Gene Larkin and Al Newman and Guy Hellboy here. Hitting the buttons for you, David Helmer. Yeah. Now, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Twins talk about how they've been playing.
How about this? You know, I'm sure you've heard this number. First time they've been three games over 500 since 2010. And that
that's
was the play of their last playoff year. So, I mean, just only three games. It's like it's been that bad in this market for so long. But they've been wonderful at home. I think they're, 12-5 at Target Field. So it's been a great place to watch them. Really exciting baseball. The bats have been really good. So we're going to be talking a lot about the things that the skipper's been doing, Paul Molitor, especially with the bullpen. You know, they don't have a dedicated long reliever. They haven't really panicked on pitchers. They left Phil Hughes in, as we said, and did a great job. And have not really pigeonholed pitchers in the bullpen into specific roles other than your reliever or your closing. But how long they're pitching to how many innings they pitch, that's been fun to watch him pull those buttons and do the good job there. So we'll be talking a lot about that, and I've got the five questions I'll ask them. By the way, Al's going to be at the St. Paul Saints spring training.
Yeah, he helps them out with that.
At the new field. So he's going to be joining us on the phone for 15 minutes, and then he's got to go hit some fungos.
Well, we talked to Tom Whaley, the executive VP for the Saints, and he was telling us that Al does help them out when they get things going, which is great for him. I mean, he's got a lot of baseball knowledge, and he's a great guy for these young guys that they have or these to learn from. Hey, Pete, thank you so much. Pete Wagner, catch him tomorrow on the Ice and On Deck Radio, and you start at 9 o'clock?
9 to 10, 1 hour program. We're going to go with the eulogy. We're going to look forward to unrestricted free agents, what the Wild need to do, and talk a little bit about the season that was and go there. And then from 11 to 12, it's On Deck Radio.
Pete, you are one heck of a working man, and when you see Hellboy here, tell him to play something I like once in a while.
Maybe we'll stick some Frankie Valli in there.
Now you're talking. All right, Pete, take it easy.
All right, thank you.
Pete Wagner, thanks. We're going to take a quick break, and we are going to come back. This could be the most competitive D-bag of the day we have ever had. There are some candidates in here. We go to basketball. We go to boxing. We go to baseball and football. You got to hear what this Washington GM had to say. The Cavaliers came up with quite an interesting video. They were promoting domestic violence in their video. Well, I don't know if you can pick a true winner out of this group. It may be a five-way tie, but we'll be doing it and talking about it when we return.
Your all-day sports talk leader, 105 The Ticket.
You know, on a normal run-of-the-mill D-bag of the day, Tom Brady would probably make the cut of guys we throw out there. He doesn't come close, even though he may have cheated for his involvement in Deflategate. And I was going to throw in Floyd Mayweather. He called Pacquiao a coward.
Surely you can't be serious.
You know, for not being manning up and, admitting that he got his butt whipped and... He's also saying Patterson, he can beat him 100 out of 100 times and blah, blah. That doesn't make it. We're down to three finalists. Any one of them on most days would run away with it. Let's start with Matt Barnes.
Say it one more time for me.
Oh, no, he won't. Matt Barnes, he's apologized for his inappropriate comment to the mother of Houston Rockets star James Harden, Monya Willis. This is during Houston's Game 2 victory. He said, think of the most vile thing you could say to a woman, and you probably haven't gotten to the level that he reached.
Your shoes are ugly?
Worse.
What's worse than that?
I'll mouth it to you. No, I won't even do that. He knows what it is. He's just trying to be cutesy. Anyway, Rockets coach Kevin McHale, everyone knows Kevin, been here, played here. He played in college, played in Boston, and he was the executive with the Timberwolves. Some people think he set him back. Right now, things going good with him in Houston, but he said, you don't say anything to anybody's mom. And he was a trash talker back when he was with the Celtics in the 80s. If you have something to say, say it to the guy you're playing against. Now, what's interesting about this, James Harden's older brother went to Barnes and said, you need to apologize to my mother. And he did. And his apology, here's a guy. He said he would never want to disrespect anyone's mother because his mother passed from cancer and that he was sorry. How do you let something like what this guy said? Again, the most vile thing you could say to a woman is what he said. And he spiced it up with, it was spiced up. Horrible, just horrible. So he's a candidate. And then we have this guy should actually wind up being idiot of the day. The Washington Redskins general manager, Scott McLaughlin, right? He was talking about Bryce Harper, 6'3", 230, got the speed, got the strength, plays for the Nationals. He's just a great ball player, baseball player, right? So McLaughlin's talking about Harper. Here's his quote. I went to a game a couple of weeks ago, and he flipped his hips and caught a fly ball out in right field in the corner, and I thought maybe he put him at cornerback. Then he said, but I'm thinking, he's going to be a safety. He's a white guy. That brought a little bit of heat down on him.
Mr. Dumbass.
Maybe he was just thinking, I don't know what he was thinking, but even if he was thinking that, he shouldn't have said it. But are there any starting cornerbacks in the NFL right now that are white?
Jason Sehorn is the only one.
That's the one I remember from the Giants. But still, it doesn't mean that, that white guys can't play the position. It was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
It's just stupid to say something like that. And the other one, the Cleveland Cavaliers, oh my God. They on their big jumbotron, and this is when the Cavaliers played the Bulls in a playoff game Wednesday night. A Cavaliers fan is shown throwing his girlfriend to the ground after learning she's a Bulls fan. Supposedly, they claim, the Cavaliers, that it's a parody of a United Healthcare ad which features an older couple attempting and failing to complete the jump from Dirty Dancing. You've seen that one, right? Where he, like, tries to lift her up and she falls into the table?
No.
You haven't? Well, it's accidental. It wasn't on purpose. That just, you know, the guy couldn't lift her because, you know, they're both a little middle-aged and had put on a few pounds, and the guy wasn't very athletic, and, you know, she might have been too big for him. But this one, the woman reveals her Bulls shirt shortly before attempting the jump into his arms, and then the Cavalier fan throws the woman to the ground and says, "Bulls fan, I didn't know you were a Bulls fan." The problem is they're basically celebrating domestic violence with this. Now, that wasn't their intent, but that's how a lot of people took it. So it's just stupid. There are our three main candidates. Now, I'm going to put the Redskins one just for being an idiot for saying that in third place, because I don't think that's bad, but I don't think it raises to the level of the other two. As a matter of fact, to me, it's a slam dunk. And that brings us to basketball. Do you, the Cavaliers, I'll ask you, Cavaliers or Matt Barnes?
I guess I would have to go.
Remember, it was about as vile a thing you could say. And he said it to Harden, James Harden's mother.
Yeah.
What I can't say on the air because it's that vile. And this is a family-friendly show.
I'm still going to go with the Cavs.
You going with the Cavs?
Yeah.
You know what he said, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know what he said.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, and believe me, in no way am I condoning what they did, and that it's like promoting and being ignorant about domestic violence. But to say what he said to this guy's mother, to single out her individually and do it, because that's the difference. I mean, here, it was a terrible idea for a parody or a spoof, which is what they called it. Just a really bad idea to do that. But this was actually said to another ball player's mom.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he apologized or not. I'm going with Matty Barnes on this one. And you'll find it, by the way, if you Google around, you will see without too much trouble what he actually said. And it's bad. I think Deadspin has they love throwing all that stuff out. Maybe TMZ does too. So, all right, we're a little split on that. By the way, if you want to weigh in, give us a call. If you want to weigh in on anything, give us a call. But don't repeat the words that Matt Barnes used, because we'll have to hit the button real quick. We've got that delay, so it's not getting out if you want to try to get cutesy with us.